So, will Austin Matthews hit 55 goals tonight? Yes or no? That's the question of the day. I'm starting off this episode with that. Yes or no?
Oh my god. Who are they playing tonight? Dallas?
Dallas Stars.
I'm going to say no.
Ooh.
I hope he does, but I don't think he does.
It's Why
Dallas,
not?
Man. Dallas is unreal. Also, is Austin Matthews, but like...
Dallas is unreal. What?
Dallas... No. Dallas is... My main thing is like... Dallas is already such a great defensive team that, like, if there were any team where I would say, like, this player is not getting a goal against this team, he's probably, like, Dallas is probably up there in the top, like, two or three answers there. I mean, just going through the teams in my head, like, yeah, like, might be number one, actually, than where I think about it, especially really? Jake Ottinger playing the way he's been playing. Oh, yeah.
Hmm.
Oh, yeah, baby. Rick Bonus. Rick Bonus hockey.
They are playing quite well. I'll give you that. However,
defensively, it's not even because the question is, do you think he's going to score a goal against Dallas? Their system is already so smothering. That's my main point here. Like, it's not that I think Austin Matthews is bad. It's just this is the Dallas way.
Is there a way to check teams that players have scored against?
Yeah, I'm looking it up right now.
I don't know if you can like find that through like some website or whatever, but if you could, I'd be really interested to know which teams Matthews has lit it up against. I must remind you, the Leafs beat the Dallas Stars 4-0 in a game I attended just 3 or 4 weeks ago. So, I mean, if we're talking about shutting down offenses, I think the Leafs did that to the Dallas Stars, not the other way around. Your mouth was just gasping for something. Like, I assume you saw something that's pretty...
Austin dark. Matthews has 23 goals in 25 games against the Ottawa Senators.
No! Okay, that makes sense.
That's disgusting.
Four goals.
Oh my god. 23 against the Senators, 20 against the Canadiens.
Question, is this up to date?
Holy, yeah.
Oh, it
I
is?
I think so.
Like, when was it?
I think so. This is stat news. I don't know when it's updated, but I would assume it's regular. Because, like, think about it, 26, 20, like, that's 25 games. That's, like, I'm going to assume it's up to date. Regardless, 25 and 26 is, like, 23 and 25 is ridiculous. That's absurd. Oh, yeah. Holy cow.
That's fucked up. Can I guess? Obviously, the top, I'm assuming, five all have to be, like, Atlantic Division just because of the number of times we play them. You said Senators were one, Canadians were two, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm. What's three?
I can tell you right now you're not going to get number three. I'm telling you right now you're not getting it.
Okay, which tells me it's not Atlantic Division. Which tells me... Okay. It has to be Metro, because that's the next division that we play most against.
I won't say anything, but like as I'm sitting here, I am shocked that this team is number three. I am actually shocked.
Washington Capitals?
No.
Islanders?
No.
Rangers?
No.
What is it?
The Vancouver Canucks.
Wait, what?
Yeah, 17 goals in 19 games.
I completely forgot the season. Last season.
Oh, right, last year. Yeah. Right, yeah, okay, that's fair. That is fair. Yeah.
I just completely forgot that.
Yeah, so it's Senators at 1, Canadiens at 2, Canucks at 3, Red Wings at 4, 13 and 17, and then the Devils at 5 with 12 goals in 12 games, and the Sabres, he also has 12 goals against the Sabres, but in 6 fewer games, so he has 18 games, goals against the Buffalo Sabres.
Okay, that makes sense.
And against the Dallas Stars, like, this is ridiculous, like, even the Western Conference teams, man, like, outside of, like, Calgary... And, like, sorry, he has 6 goals in 6 games against Dallas. Ridiculous.
Okay, like, so you want to go back on your prediction?
No, I honestly don't.
6 goals in 6 games, dude. He'll make it 7-7 tonight.
He's due to not score one. I mean,
No. Like technically.
Technically,
he's due to score because... His pace, remember, we talked about his pace last episode, and he didn't score last game. He had 3 assists against Florida. So he's due to score.
Yes, but, however, the law of averages says he is more... I'm not going to even... I hope he does. I hope I'm wrong. I genuinely hope I'm wrong. I really do, because I want him to hit 60 goals badly. But, again, the question was... do you? Anyways.
I just love arguing with you.
I'm still gonna stick with no, but I think he still hit 60 goals. I think after tonight he's gonna go on a tear because I don't know who they're playing. They're playing Montreal on Saturday, so yeah, I think he'll have a night there.
They're gonna lose that game, aren't they? Fuck me, man.
Oh yeah, they are. Yeah, it's okay. Anyways, my answer is yeah.
Why is the team like this? Can you answer that question?
It's okay.
They go in. No, and
I'm not a wizard. Sorry, I'm not a expert. I don't have the answer for you.
They beat Boston 6-4. They beat Tampa 6-2. They were up 5-1 against the Florida Panthers before they blew that, and then they lost 6-7 in OT. But they still got 3 out of 4, honestly, possible points in Florida.
I'm not even mad about that game. I'm not even. Like, here's the thing, right? You're playing on the second night of a back to back against the best team in the Atlantic, who is sitting at home waiting for you, playing your third string goalie who got hurt. And like they had a 5-1 lead, like I think going into the second period or like at the beginning of the second period. If there is a team that I am okay with that with coming back against, it would have been the Florida Panthers.
Stop. Like, your sentence is so flawed. If there is one team that I'd be okay with blowing a 5-1 lead.
Okay. Oh, whoa.
Sorry.
Whoa.
So
yeah.
5-1.
Okay, but like it's a regular season game, and they've played so well down the stretch. Like even in that game, they played remarkably well. And like if Erik Sjögren makes that save on Radko Gudas, which he should have made on the shorthanded goal, I don't think they come back. I really do not. That goal changed everything. And Sheldon Keefe pinpointed that in his post game press conference. So like. My thing is, if they started Jack Campbell and they had that same lead, I genuinely do not believe that game balloons to the point where it got on. And that's why I'm not bothered as much. Because there's one thing I think this last little stretch has shown us is Erik Sjögren's been great when called upon, for the most part, except he's not touching the crease during the playoffs. Jack Campbell's been unbelievable since he came back. Exactly. So that's why I'm not hitting the panic button.
At the same time, I don't know if he's not going to be hitting the crease, because who are you going to count on? Mrazek for the backup for Campbell?
Playoffs? My guess is he'll dress for playoffs, but my point is he's not going to touch the crease once the game start, because you're not putting, like, barring a catastrophic injury to Jack Campbell, he's not playing. He's like, I think the Leafs, I don't think the Leafs would even do that. And keep in mind, Mrazek is supposedly supposed to be ready for the playoffs. So worst case scenario. So it sounds like Mrazek might be able to back up Jack Campbell. But again, yeah, I know.
Let's see. How did Jack do in the last game? He had 4 goals allowed, 26 shots against, .846 save percentage. Let's just forget that, because that game was fucked.
Was that against Florida?
Yeah, it was. I do want to say something.
Again, sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
I'll agree with you. I was playing devil's advocate, and 5-1 lead is bad. But honestly, it's late in the season. I don't really give a shit too much. There is a particular pairing on the Leafs defense that was on for 4 goals against.
Yes.
And it's a big reason why I don't think Hall is not going to be dressing for the playoffs game one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Muzzin will. Muzzin will, just because of experience. And he scored a goal. Yeah. And he was on the body, like he was physical. But not Hall. Not Hall, dude. Not Hall.
And they're both in tonight. And Timothy Liljegren is out, which makes me very, very upset. But that's okay. Yeah. I'm okay if it's just for this game. And then they say, okay, let's see what Muzzin Hall got. And if they got nothing left, to just take him out. Because, like I said this last episode, but Timothy Liljegren deserves to be in the lineup. He's played so well with Mark Giordano. Like, he does not deserve to be taken out of the lineup, especially for two guys who are on for 4 goals against. And when you watch them on the ice, they look like they're lost, especially Justin Hall. I've been really tough on Justin Hall because he's been absolute talk shit in front of his own net. But like up before like the games leading up to the one against Florida, like I thought he was actually pretty good. Like he didn't have as many questionable decisions. Like I thought he was relatively good in front of his own net. And it's the minute Muzzin comes back, he's just bye. Like it's like all that goes out the window. So like, hopefully he's better with Giordano, but if not, I need it. Like he needs to get out of the lineup, him or Muzzin. I don't care who it is, but they clearly cannot be in the same pairing together. And I have a feeling tonight we're gonna see they can't even be in the same lineup together because they're just so, like you have no idea what you're gonna get from them. You have no idea.
Mm-hmm. Pairings tonight against Dallas are Morgan Riley, Boosh, top pairing, Muzzin Brody second pairing, Gio and Hall last pairing. I'm telling you right now, I'd give them the next two games, but once you're at the 10-game mark left and less, you please don't play Hall. Like, you need a proper warm-up with no ins and outs for your final roster. Yeah. You need a good set of games for this lineup to go into the playoffs feeling confident. You need some chemistry. Yeah. You got to stop, like, swapping in and out. Yeah, I get it. You had 80 games to do this now, right, Sheldon?
Yeah.
70 games. So I think it's time to close the experiment off. I think we know the answer to the lineup already. It's not going to be Hall. Yeah. We'll try it for a couple more games, sure, to see what you have. But, like, it's got to be, in my opinion, Riley Boosh. It's working, I guess, and they like it, so I don't think they're going to change it.
Yeah.
I would love to see Gio Brody, just because of that experience that they had together, but
go ahead.
They're gonna do Muzzin Brody just because of the chemistry that they had earlier this season.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's gonna be Gio and Liljegren or Gio and Sandin at the end. Sandin, you keep saying Sandin, it's Sandin though.
Yeah, I think just because of how Liljegren and Gio have played together, I don't think there's any way in hell you tear them apart for the playoffs. They like, I get why people want to see Gio and Brody, but like, to be honest, I don't know if I trust Muzzin with Timothy Liljegren. Because the one underrated thing that taking out Liljegren does, and I mentioned this to you before yesterday when we were talking about, not yet, 2 days ago, we were talking about the defense corps, but like, when you take out a Sandin or a Liljegren and replace it with like a Hall or a Muzzin, that defense core gets so much slower because now basically the only real mobile defenseman you have is like Morgan Riley and then like kind of TJ Brody, but like Brody isn't as great a skater as Morgan Riley, and like so you lose so much mobility on your back end, and like in this division and in the Eastern Conference, like that's an absolute killer because like there's so many fast teams, so many fast forward cores in this division, in this Eastern Conference, but like anyways, I'm just kind of rambling at this point, but the bottom line is like, man, I just don't know what they do with Hall and Muzzin, man. I really don't.
I think if I were to make a prediction for what happens in this offseason, it's Riley stays, obviously. Boosh, do you know how many years he has left on his contract?
I think he's a pending RFA or UFA. I don't know. I'll check it right now. Keep going.
Pretty sure they'll bring him back. Yep. Muzzin,
gone.
I don't think I want him. He's gone. But who are you gonna replace?
He's gone.
Are you sure?
Who am I gonna replace him with? Mm-hmm. I think he's gone. Like he is making 5.6. He's not playing at 5.6. But I'm sure there are teams that will take him at 5.6, but you just get diminished return, and I'm okay with that because if you can get $5.6 million off the books to go out and maybe sign someone else, you take that.
And you know what? Because
Boosh is a free agent at the end of the year.
Oh, shoot. Yeah. I think you're right because Boosh is a free agent and Riley makes 7 starting next season.
Yep.
So.
And Gio is a free agent. Gio could take a Jason Spezza haircut type, like veterans type deal, depending on how things go in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. We'll see. And then Hall has 1 year left at 2 mil. So, like, if you move Muzz, you move Hall, that's 7 million right there, almost 8 million.
Wow.
And, like, the thing is, I think, again, I don't want that. Like, my ideal scenario would be that Muzz finds his game in the offseason and he comes back and he's the same defense than he was last year. But just given his injuries this year, I'm starting to believe that that's going to be relatively unlikely. And look, I think a team like the Calgary Flames or the Edmonton Oilers would be a really nice fit for Jake Muzzin. He makes a lot of money, so I don't know if the Oilers would be able to afford that. But like, you're talking about a guy who can play on the penalty kill, a guy who can maybe man your second power play unit. Like, I think that'd be a nice fit. But
he is totally gonna go to the Flames, dude. Who's the coach?
Yeah. Oh yeah, Daryl Sutter.
Mm-hmm.
He could also go back to LA. Get friends with Drew Doughty. Anyways, this wasn't supposed to turn into a let's find a place to try it
yeah,
to trade Jake Muzzin to, but like, it's just so tough not to look at it that way, just given his age and just given the, like, is one thing that people aren't talking about. The Leafs have a lot of defensemen coming up, like Liljegren, Sandin, Tapio Niemelä is a right shooting defenseman. And like, they have Morgan Rielly locked up. They have TJ Brody locked up for a couple more seasons. I would imagine they're going to try to bring Lyubushkin back. He's only 28, and he's only making 1.35, and I can't see him making much more than that, just given his defense offensive production.
Yep.
So, anyways.
Well, yeah. Okay.
Also, Sandin's a free agent at the end of the year. He's an RFA at the end of the year, so is Timmy. So
they're going to give him a boost as well, so he'll be back. There's no way they're going to, no. This lineup tonight will be interesting, because I think we'll get a final answer on what Hall brings you to the team. I'll run you through the forward pairings, because I'm pretty sure these are locked in, except for the fourth line. So you got Bunting, Matthews, Marner.
Yeah.
You got Mikheyev, Tavares, Kerfoot.
Oh, great line. Yeah.
Really great line, considering Mickey has stepped up immensely as of late.
Oh yeah, baby.
Dude, I think when you were talking too. About when you're talking about Engvall on the tear last episode, I really think you meant
talking Mikheyev. About Mikheyev. Mikheyev. No, I think that's I don't really. I realized it after. It's like, oh wait, okay, yeah, never mind. Who's also a free agent at the end of the year? Oh, Mikheyev. No, he's gone. But that's okay.
Excuse me. Surprisingly, Nylander's on the third line right now with Kampf and Engvall.
Oof. He's been like a week and a half now,
dude, and he has not looked. While. He has played classic William Nylander. I don't care hockey recently.
Yeah.
But yeah. there's nothing you can say, considering he had 5-7 against the Canadiens last season. There's nothing you can say.
Mm-hmm.
For now,
but this for is now. Exactly this is I know yeah oh yeah but this is exactly what I mean when we went two episodes ago. We said that when I was talking about potential when William Nylander being moved. Because you don't know which when he's going to have it and when he is not going to have it. And he, as a player who makes almost $7 million, you need a bit more consistency there. But he's also been great.
Yeah. Can you pull up his stats as well? Sorry, I keep telling you to pull these things.
Yeah, no worries. I got it.
I want to know how many points he's had in the last X number of games. Because I still think he's putting up points. He's just not as flashy anymore.
He's still just below points per game right now. He's at 66. He's at 66 points in 69 games.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Dude, that's a career high easily.
Yeah.
Okay, could be overreacting regarding him, but like at the same time, there's a reason why they put him on a goal suck of David Kampf, because William Nylander right now on the defensive end is atrocious.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But maybe that's also why you put him with David Kampf.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what I just said.
Yeah. Okay. I was kind of distracted typing. So yeah. True.
Fourth line. Yeah. Nick Abruzzese, Colin Blackwell, Wayne Simmonds. Dude, Simmonds is not going to play in playoff game one. There's no way.
Yeah, he's gonna is. Play. I honestly think he is. Who do you put in your fourth line?
I'd rather put Spezza, dude.
I'm genuinely asking.
I'd rather put Spezza.
Okay, Spezza and who?
Spezza, Blackwell, and... Okay, well, you got Kasha coming back in. There you go.
Do you? I haven't heard a peep about Kasha for the last like week and a half since he went on the IR.
Oh, dude, I'm guaranteeing you he's coming back playoff game one.
I'm scared. Okay, but okay, let's just say for debate's sake, that he doesn't come back. Because because we haven't heard anything, I'm skeptical if he comes back.
Well, who else? Clifford.
You have Abruzzese. No. Okay. I'm so glad you brought up Kyle Clifford. I don't want him to see another play another
Come
regular
on.
Season game until someone gets hurt. Here's the thing. When the Leafs first acquired him, along with who was it? No, it was him. It was Kyle Clifford and Jack Campbell. People were really excited because Kyle Clifford could actually play, and like his advanced stats were really good. But like, dude, the amount of stupid penalties this guy takes is ridiculous.
You're right.
Like, he took a penalty against the Panthers for slashing a stick out of a guy's hands. It was so unnecessary. Mm-hmm. And the Panthers come back, score a power play goal. I'm pretty sure that one gave them the lead. Like,
you're right.
I love Clifford. I love the whole idea of, and that's it. And that's why, like, I think I really believe that that's the difference between Wayne Simmonds and Kyle Clifford making the lineup is Wayne Simmonds doesn't take a lot of stupid penalties. Like, he just people are just get upset because like he's supposed to be a guy who goes in, hits, and like fights everybody. But like, I mean, well, first of all, apparently the refs don't want him fighting anyone anymore. That's kind of funny. But like
Simmonds or Clifford?
Simmonds. Like, so you had he was gonna fight, I think, Adam Lowry on the Jets. That Jets game, and both of them got ejected because like it was like 15, like 10 seconds left. They're both on the ice for the last draw of the game, and they were jawing at the faceoff. And they basically said, "Okay, goodbye." Throw him off. It was actually just after I think, Kyle Clifford fought Brendan Dillon, and then and the same thing happened against the Flyers. He was gonna fight McEwen, and then they both got sent to the penalty box. They didn't even fight. They just kind of pulled them. Anyways. I just think of all the options on the fourth line. Again, I hope Kasha's back, and hopefully that's the answer, but I'm also skeptical because, yeah. Anyways, we'll see.
So that's the Leafs in other news, if you don't mind me quickly switching gears here.
Sorry, just one quick thing. I pulled up William Nylander's game logs.
Sure.
In his last three games, William Nylander has 6 points.
Oh, wow. Okay. To be fair, all of them were six goal games for the Leafs. That's not going to continue.
So he has a goal and assist against a goal and assist against Florida, an assist against Philadelphia, 2 goals and an assist against Winnipeg, and like wow, an assist against Boston, a goal against Montreal, and then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, a 6-game point streak. From March 8th to March 19th. Wow. Although, minus three. Oh, my God. Okay. Yeah, never mind.
I cannot make a diagnosis on Nylander right now. He's putting up the points.
No one can. Nobody can because that's the thing, right? Like, he gets points so effortlessly, and that's the problem because he just doesn't really show like he has a lot of effort in a lot of times during the game. Now that being said, he's probably one of the most he is one-dimensional, but he's probably one of the most one-dimensionally skilled players like on the team. But
I think you're right. Okay, one more favor I'm gonna ask you to do for this episode, because this is where we bring your evolving hockey in. Can you give me the best chart of someone on the San Jose Sharks?
Okay, I'll try. Okay, cool. That's
fine. And you know why I mentioned this, right?
Okay. Yeah, goodbye, Doug Wilson.
So Doug
I'll
Wilson,
see you.
He stepped down. So while you pull it up, I'm just going to mention he stepped down due to health concerns. So obviously, right off the bat, never want someone to be in a position where they have to work when health is a concern for them. And right now it seems like that's the case. So hope Doug Wilson gets better, first and foremost.
I think he's been gone for a while.
Yeah, since November.
That was my recollection. So yeah, okay, that's what I thought. I thought like when I read the thing you sent me, I thought like he actually was still there. I was like, what? But yeah, anyways. Yeah, I second everything you said. I have nothing really to add there, but
The reason why I'm asking Simon to pull this up, though, is because assistant GM, I believe his name is, what is it? Joe Will. Assistant GM Joe Will. He says regarding, he says after Doug Wilson stepped down, he says, our foot is on the gas here. Our intention is to win. We're a competitive team. We have the guys in the room to do it, and we're pushing forward. Not to take any steps back.
Okay, don't be mean to the San Jose Sharks fans. That's a little much.
Dude.
Believe me. I get it. Believe me. But that's okay.
And then he mentions.
Holy cow, Timo. Yeah, true.
No, it's to go and win, and that we intend on doing with the candidates who come forward is we will look at them based on that, how they come into the organization. Okay, I don't understand the sentence. They're going to have a vision.
It's okay.
But it's moving forward with this philosophy to win hockey games, get to the playoffs, and take this franchise to the next level. So my biggest problem with that is they're going to have a vision. What vision are you talking about?
Yeah.
This team is dirt.
That's true. Also, hold on. While we're here, I'm gonna pull up the San Jose Sharks cat friendly, but because I think that's another issue. There it is. So this is probably the best evolving hockey chart we can find on the San Jose Sharks. Holy cow, Timo Meier! Oh my god! Like, look at that! Like, that's crazy! Like, that's three. So. That's almost 3 goals for per 60. An expected goal score per 60 of over 3. And then this Corsi 4 per 60 is like around 3. And then, like, not great Corsi against, but it's also not bad. So, like, this guy. Sorry, what?
This is William Nylander in a nutshell, though.
That's a good question, actually. I'm going to compare that now. But that's a really good point. Except, but I think what we're going to see is I wouldn't be surprised if William Nylander has a way more negative defensive impact than Timo Meier.
Oh, I'm scared.
Because Timo Meier was basically neutral. Like, it wasn't, like, it was almost at baseline, almost at zero.
We did also see Nylander. Timo Meier had horrible power play advanced stats for some reason.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah. 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 Like, dude, this is like his goals for at even strength is ridiculous. That is absurd.
Yo, what?
Like, here, hold on. Like, I'm just gonna show you. Yeah, let's like, in just terms of the defensive stats, you can already see that like Nylander's goals for like goals against per 60 and expected goals against. Sorry, goals against per 60 as well. Sorry, Corsi against as well as goals against per 60. Like, it's way worse than Timo Meier. Like, Timo Meier has like neutral defensive numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and just to play a fun game, because like I'm genuinely curious, because like his even strength and goals for and Corsi for stats, like even strength, I'm just gonna put him beside Leon Draisaitl. Like, dude. Like, when Timo Meier's on the ice, his expected goal for is higher than Leon Draisaitl. And same with Corsi for. This man possesses the... When he's on the ice, this man this and the San Jose Sharks possess the puck more than the Edmonton Oilers do when Leon Draisaitl's on the ice. That is ridiculous.
So, the
Holy
reason...
Holy cow.
I had a very surprising expression when I noticed the Nylander versus Timo Meier thing, and that's because I'm more surprised at the lack of goals that Nylander brings.
Yeah, you
like,
do.
What?
His expected goals for was low, like way low. Yeah. So like,
is that? Anyways, I wonder if that's because he shoots little. I don't know if he shoots a lot.
I have no idea. I would think so, but I have no idea. Anyways, so back to San Jose Sharks a little bit. I'm just going to quick... good for Bobby. Okay, yeah. So just looking at their cap front, this team's in trouble. Like, a lot of trouble. Because, like, if you look at, like, even their... even if you look at their defense core, 11.5 per season in Erik Karlsson, that's a lot. $8 million per season. Brent Burns, that's a lot. Who's 37? Oh my God. And then Mark Edward Vlasic, who's making $7 million a season. So that's 18, sorry, 19 and a half. And then like that's 26 and a half million dollars and three defensemen who are over the age of 30. Oh my God. Like, and they account for like what, 25, like almost 30% of the cap. The Erik Karlsson, I don't totally mind. That's a lot of, okay, no, I do mind. That's a big
Yeah, I was
number.
gonna say.
And it's until 2026, 2027. So this is the end of the deal. So, oh my God. And the thing is, like, can you name from like three top San Jose Sharks prospects? Like any of them?
Nope.
And that's kind of where I'm getting at now. Where do they go? Like, where do they go from here? Like, also, Timo Meier's only making $6 million. That's ridiculous. Oh
Holy
my God.
shit.
I think I just became a massive Timo Meier fan. I
Me
think
too.
I might get a Timo Meier jersey. No, I'm joking. But yeah, like noted San Jose Sharks prospect Ryan Dzingel. Yeah, I don't know any of these guys. And again, I'm not saying they're bad. I'm just unfamiliar with like I've heard anything about the San Jose Sharks prospect pool, and I think there's a reason for that. Just holy cow.
So this is why I'm so perplexed, because I don't know what the Sharks are doing. I don't know what they're doing. Do they expect to actually win with this roster?
Oh, I don't think they are. I genuinely think it just they I didn't think they I don't think they wanted to come out and say we're going to rebuild or we're going to tank at this moment in time. I suspect once the season wraps up, we're going to hear a bit more of that. Just 'cause like new
But
guy, like
what do you do though? Right now, as of right now, wouldn't the best time to actually have decided what you're gonna do for this offseason have been at the trade deadline? Because if they really want to tank, they don't have a second this year. They have two fifths and three sevenths. That's not a rebuild. They have
One,
only
two,
their
three,
picks
four.
next draft. They barely have any picks over the next 3 years. For
I
a
would say
rebuilding
that
team.
over.
For a rebuilding team,
Okay,
no, not at all.
okay, that's fair, that's fair, that's fair.
But what does this tell me? The direction is like nowhere. For me, either if you're trying to make the playoffs, you go bang, all in. Well, not all in, but at least the barometer for if you're going to actually push for the playoffs is you trading away your draft picks, trading away your prospects, adding some good additions to your team. And the barometer for if you're trying to tank and make a pass on the season is you give away, sorry, you gain more draft picks or prospects in return, right? Right now, they don't really have an exceptional number of draft picks. They have like average. The roster, average. Prospects, garbage.
Yeah, below average, yeah. Like, they have a lot of young guys on their roster. I'm just looking at it now. Like, Logan Couture is 33, so that's he's old, oldish, like compared to the other guys on the roster. Nick Bonino's 33, and then like, yeah, other than those two guys, they don't have a forward above the age of 30. Tomas Hertl is a very good player. I will say that Tomas Hertl is a very nice player.
Do you
They
have
just
his
signed him to an ex.
fancies?
Tom. Yeah. Give me a second. Before I pull those up, Tomas Hertl this year has 58 points in 69 games on a bad San Jose Sharks team. Last year he had 43 points in 50 games. It's not bad. He's only making his extension was like $8 million, so that's not awful. Just give me a second. I'm gonna pull up his fancies.
They also have Alexander Barabanov, noted former Leaf legend.
Yeah. Okay, so that's not bad actually here. Yeah, so this is Tomas Hertl even strength. This is him on the power play. That's
So,
pretty solid.
for everyone
Keep in
listening,
mind,
Thomas Hurdle, oh sorry, Tomas Hurdle
Tomas
has
Hurdle, yeah.
2 goals for expected goals for, or goals for two expected goals for, is about
yeah.
half of one.
Half, about half, yeah.
Of course, he's pretty good. Goals against, average,
yep.
okay.
Yeah,
he's a pretty good
but
player.
Yeah. So like, yeah, and if they really wanted to move him, they probably could. They probably could. They could. I just don't know if they would want to, given they literally just extended him before the trade deadline. I think the big piece to keep your eye on is Logan Couture, or Logan Couture. I'm not sure how you pronounce it, to be completely honest with you.
Couture.
He is 33 years old. Couture. Okay, he's 33 years old. He does have a modified no trade. He's making $8 million for the next one. Oh my God. One, two, three, four, five seasons after this one. He's a center. What are his like stats like? This year he has 48 points in 64 games. Okay, so maybe not. Like, wow. Oh my God. So the one thing we talked about with the Edmonton Oilers, they don't have a lot of guys who you could like realistically trade and expect to get a whole lot back for. This is the exact same thing, like if not worse, because they don't even have McDavid and Draisaitl. Holy cow, this is bad. Like, this is really, really bad.
Yeah. I was just gonna say, let's rewind 6 years ago. What division was the star of the league? About 6-7 years ago.
Oh yeah, no, it was the Pacific for sure. Yeah, like the Knights, the Kings, the Sharks, the Ducks. Yeah, it was crazy.
Well, not the Knights because they didn't exist 6 years ago. But yes.
Oh right, sorry. Yes. Yeah.
Every team who went through the California road trip had a nightmare. It was the feared California road trip. No.
Death Valley.
People
call it Death Valley. Death Valley, baby. Yep.
Because you had the Kings. Back-to-back champions. You had the Ducks, who were consistently making the second, third round every single season. And you had the Sharks, who were very, very good. Cup final. They made it deep a few seasons as well. But now, in a weird, funny way, Kings have totally rebuilt and are now on the come up again. They're making the playoffs, second seed in the Pacific Division. The Ducks have rebuilt. Now they have amazing players coming up. Trevor Zegras.
And they're still coming. They're still coming, but yeah, they're almost towards. They're towards the end.
Yes, but they're still coming up. Yeah. But then you have the Sharks. Why have the Sharks decided to lag? Can't they look literally a few miles in, not a few miles, like in their own state, their own U.S. state, and think like, oh, okay, the Kings and the Ducks, they both decided to do something similar. Shouldn't we do the same thing? And they said no.
Yeah.
Eric. Yeah. Eric Carlson, Logan
yeah.
Couture, Martin Jones.
Well, Martin Jones, they had a while. Like they got like Martin Jones was their goalie for the Cup final that one year.
Yeah, but then every year after that,
yeah, and they traded. They traded for Eric Carlson September of 2018, which was two seasons after they made the Cup final. Just give me 1 second. Hold on. I'm going to pull up their 2018 San Jose
Sharks. And to be fair, roster. Eric Carlson, he had a phenomenal start to this season until he was sidelined with his super long injury again. But
yeah.
Again, dude, like Eric Carlson, I don't think it made no sense to bet on him for as long as they did. And for his
yeah.
contract as well.
Oh, no. Yeah. But I think the thing is, someone was going to pay him that. And if you wanted to keep Eric Carlson, you had to pay it.
I hate that argument, dude. Someone was going to pay him that. So the Sharks said, yeah, we'll do it.
Well, the thing is, in 2018, like, I'm looking at their... They actually had a pretty solid team in 2018. Like I'm just looking at the roster now.
On paper.
Like, I'll just go through the names for you. Justin Braun, Brett Burns, Logan Couture, Aaron Dell, Brendan Dillon, Jonas Donskoy, Barclay Goodrow, Michael Haley, Tim Heed, Tomas Hertl, Martin Jones, Evander Kane, Erik Karlsson, Melker Karlsson, Kevin LeBanc, Timo Meier, Jacob Middleton, Gustav Nyquist, Joel Pavelski, Lucas Raddil, Joakim Ryan, Radim Simic, Marcus Sorensen, Antti Suomela, Joe Thornton, and Mark-Edward Vlasic. And like Brent Burns, 83 points in 82 games. Tomas Hertl, 74 points in 77 games. Logan Couture, 70 and 81. Timo Meier, 66 and 78. 64 and 75 for Joe Pavelski. Like, that's not a bad team. Were they even Stanley Cup favorites that year? Probably not. But like, if you when adding Erik Karlsson to that roster, I get why they did it. But I think one thing that kind of like, here's the thing in the San Jose Sharks. I think one thing I think we can both agree on is once they had their window, and sorry, because like they've been good for a while. Like the San Jose Sharks have been like relevant for like majority of the decade,
Yep.
like majority of the decade. I think the problem is, and I think this is a team that thing a problem that a lot of players, a lot of teams have is they don't really know when it's time to start over. And the problem now is a lot of those assets that they had or would have had that had value currently do not because they waited too long to decide that it's time to start over. So I mean, I hope their drafting and development team's good because they're gonna have to hit on the limited draft capital that they have. But again, if they really want to move some of these pieces, I'm sure they'll be able to. But I think the thing we're going to see is that I think for a lot of these players, they're not going to get anywhere near what they would have like 2 years ago, 3 years ago.
They're stuck with Carlson. No one's gonna take him on at 11.5, dude. That's their
Yeah,
biggest
that's yeah.
hamper right now.
I don't disagree with that. And again, this is going to be I'll be very interested to see what happens with the rest of Erik Karlsson's career. But given his injury history, yeah, I'm not saying they would do this on purpose, but if something goes wrong in the next couple of years, I could see him saying, I'm gonna go on LTIR and just kind of sit on an island all day, and then
Robida Island.
he'll end up in like, yeah, I got like, because that's for one, two, three, four, five more seasons. 11 and a half.
Stomach churning.
Take in the Vegas Golden Knights were a team that were going to that was going to give him that contract. They were going after him hard. Could
Yeah.
you imagine? Like he would be in like he would be in Chicago by now. Like yeah. Anyways, like
So true.
yeah,
Also,
that's crazy.
they have legend Alex Barabanov, who actually this season he has 37
Right.
points in 61 games, 10 goals, 27
Wow, good for
assists,
him.
right?
Good for him. Yeah. I'm still blown away by Timo Meier, dude. Oh my god, I did
What a
not
good
know his
player.
stats were that good. Yeah, and he's only 25. Oh, wow, he's 25. Oh my god, he's older than I thought. Yeah.
They also have James Reimer, who's had a actually he's had a very good season.
Yeah.
But he's set to be a UFA at the
I
end of this
really
season
wanted
too.
him. Oh my
Sorry,
god,
at the end
and
of
they're
next season.
yeah. No, he's 2 more years. No, sorry, wait, never mind. I was sorry, I was looking at something else. Never mind. Oh, one, two, three, four, five. They're paying Martin Jones for 6 more seasons and almost $2 million.
See, that's the thing with this
Four.
Sharks team. It's they have some good pieces, but the pieces that they double down on, they screwed up so
All came back to
badly.
bite them in the ass. Yeah,
So
yeah.
badly, dude.
Yeah. Brent Burns got eight mil for 8 years. That one I get. He's a fan favorite. He's been with the team since like 2014 or 2013, whenever it was. You want to keep him around, fine. And $8 million, I think at the time he signed that deal was actually pretty generous. Well, it was a pretty fair number for both sides. Because I think at the time he signed this deal, this would have been 4 years ago. Like, he still would have been not great, but like probably coming off a pretty productive season. I think you can agree on that, maybe.
Dude, yeah, but that was also when he was 33 years old, he signed that contract.
Hold on.
This will bring him till he's 41, man.
Yeah. I mean, to be like, so So one season to go to.
The biggest problem with the San Jose Sharks was, mm-hmm. so I told you, when they doubled down, they doubled down for all the wrong reasons and for the wrong players. Mm-hmm. When they won, when they went to the Stanley Cup final in 2017 against the Penguins, right? Or was it 16?
Yeah, 15-16, I think it was.
Yeah. Okay, one of those seasons.
Yeah, it was 15-16. No, okay. It was 15-16. I'm looking at his playoff stats right now, 24 games. Yeah.
So 15-16, they went to the Stanley Cup final. That mm-hmm. team was really good, but they should have realized that came at the tail end of their window. That came at the end of their window. As soon as mm-hmm. they lost in that finals, bang! Window shut, closed. Done.
I don't know about that.
They were never the same after that. Like, they were never the same after that.
The only argument I'll make on that is I would have probably said it after the end of the following season, which is, I think, the one where they lost to... wasn't Vegas. They lost in the first round the very next year. That's probably when I would have said, okay, time to sell off pieces. Because, like, even the most rational general manager, I don't think any team would have just said, okay, we're going to tear our whole team apart, like, after losing in six games in the Stanley Cup final to Sidney Crosby and the Pittsburgh Penguins, who are probably one of the most, other than Chicago Blackhawks, the dynasty of the decade.
Yeah, but no other team has a core that is this old. That's the mistake they made. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
it makes sense why they rolled the dice again. But in theory, I think the lesson that we can all learn now is it doesn't matter. You have to look at it logically. It doesn't matter if you just were about to win the Stanley Cup. The fact that your core is this old and slow is a problem that you need to solve immediately. They should have answered this years ago. Mm-hmm. And dude, also, the Montreal Canadiens made it to the Stanley Cup final. That doesn't mean you rolled the dice on them. They did the right thing.
But comparing the Montreal Canadiens to the San Jose Sharks is a completely different animal.
Fine.
The thing is, I'm trying to do the math on ages here, because like Brent Burns would have been like 33 or something. Anyways, it's irrelevant. But like, yeah, like. This is such an interesting case, because like I'm trying to think of like what happened to this team. Oh, I guess honestly, and here's I think a bigger problem I think they've had, and I think is kind of apparent. Their drafting and developing has dropped off significantly in the last like little bit, because like one of the reasons why they were able to, just thinking off the top of my head, like Logan Couture drafted and developed by the San Jose Sharks. Patrick Marleau, developed and drafted by the San Jose Sharks. Joe Thornton was a trade from Boston, but they still like that was basically like the John Tavares signing that the Leafs got. So fine. Danny Heatley, Mark Edward Vlasic was drafted and developed by the San Jose Sharks. Dan Boyle, I think, was a free agent out of Florida who got traded to. Anyways, my point is that the majority of their core was drafted and developed by the team. And the problem now is, like, where are these same talents? Other than, like, Timo Meier has been good. Timo Meier has been really good. Thomas Hertl has been good. But, like, there's a significant drop-off in talent there to the point where, like, it has given you no assets through the draft whatsoever. And I think that might be a bigger problem because, again, like, you can trade all these players away all you want. You can get as many draft picks as you want, but if your drafting development sucks, you're gonna suck for a very long time, because you know you won't be able to get any good players.
Okay. TLDR, San Jose Sharks, you're in a pickle. I don't know where you go from here. I think you got to do something about the horrible contracts that you signed, but you can't at the same time.
Like what? Exactly. Like what? Yeah. Like here's my prediction. Timo Meier traded, Tomas Hertl traded. I think a good chunk of the like current like because like Couture gone, Meier gone. Thomas Hertl may be gone. He just needs someone there. So I think it probably if out of those three, the one player who might stay is Thomas Hertl. Everyone else on the forward core, expendable. Eric Karlsson will go to LTIR. Brent Burns will get like maybe, oh my God, all three of those guys have Erik Karlsson, Brent Burns, and Mark-Edward Vlasic all have either no moves or no trades.
They're fucked. They're boned.
Like, oh my God, Mark-Edward Vlasic. Holy cow. Radek Simic picking. Oh my goodness. Yeah. Like,
anyway. It is what it is. I want to quickly wrap up now. So, playoffs. They're around the corner. Colorado Avalanche.
They are.
Colorado Avalanche have made the Stanley Cup playoffs. They've clinched officially. Senators have officially been eliminated. So have the Sabres.
Montreal Canadiens, probably. Oh, yeah. Sabres do? Oh, that's so sad. That's horrible. Although, I will say, and this is a topic for another day, holy cow, I'm scared of the Sabres. I am genuinely terrified of them.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I'm not even being sarcastic. I am worried about that team in the future.
They're going to be good. Oh, man, they could have been so much better if they kept Eichel.
Yeah. Yeah. Although, honestly, I'm really starting to like Peyton Krebs a lot.
I know. But
it's not Eichel, but yeah, still.
Yeah. We'll do that next episode. The NHL, the website, NHL.com, they had a couple really cool articles where they talked about the teams that were eliminated, and they talked about like what went wrong, the skinny, reasons for optimism,
yeah,
et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
So we'll do a deeper dive on that next episode. For now, though, I think that's all we got today. I don't know
what was
British,
that?
Where my British accent what was, came
from. Okay. All right. I'll let you do your thing.
Hit the bell notification icon. Give us a like. Thumbs up on our YouTube. Listen to our Spotify. Stream us. Yeah. Stan Taxi Squad Podcast.
If you're listening from my creative studies class, thank you for listening. shout out. thank you for actually following through and listening to my pod.
And I apologize. We'll see you soon. I apologize. Bye.